Lesson 71 in the book of Matthew, as we study the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, we left off last week with verse 4, or last lesson, if you will. But you've got to understand, when we study the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and 25, it's one of those books that it's hard to understand. It seems like it's very hard to understand. And like I said before, that the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and 25, and the book of Acts, chapter 2, there are more doctrines brought out of those books than probably any other book in the Bible. Now, there's three books in your Bible, if you think about studying it very hard. Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews are a very type of book that it's moving. There's things happening in there. But we left off last week in the fact that Matthew 23, as we worked down through the passages there, and we went to Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3, that all the questions that they asked him tell us when these things be, and what shall the sign of thy coming be, and of the end of the world. Every one of those questions can be answered in Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 through 43, talking about the end of the world and what the world was. The world is not the green, green grass at home out here. The world is a system that God put together that they believed in and they supported it. Now, the end of the world speaking in this passage that he covered there is talking about the end of this tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel. That's what it's all about, what Jesus is doing. Because why? He's already taken the kingdom and given it to the little flock, and he's preparing that little flock, Peter and the 11, Peter and 11 at that time, telling them what they're going to expect over here in the kingdom age and what that wrath is going to be about. We also know in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Is he not going to be King of kings and Lord of lords? Is he King of kings and Lord of lords now? You know, spiritually he is, isn't he? But who's the God of this world? Satan is. Who's the prince and power of the air? Satan is. So there's power struggle there. And that's been a fight ever since Genesis 1-2. And the end of the satanic policy of evil in this present world. That's what the Lord answers. Go to verse 4 and 5. He says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive what? Many. Men will try to deceive you." Does that go on today? It really does. I mean, nothing's changed if you think about it. "And many false ones coming in the name of Christ." Everybody's in the name of Christ. Everybody is a minister and all. But look at verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is yet And the end is coming." Is that what it says?
No.
But the end is not yet. It must come to pass, but this is not the end. Wars and rumors of wars are only a characteristic of the beginning that's going to take place over here. You think about, you know, we've been taught some things and, oh man, wars and rumors. It's coming. It's getting close. It's not the end yet. It's only the beginning. Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." Nations shall rise against what? Nations. Earthly. Tremors, famines, pestilence, earthquakes. It's all going to happen. You know, it's taking place. It's going to take place over there. It's only the beginning. Verse 8, "And these are the end of all the sorrows." Praise God. Hallelujah. The beginning of sorrows. Man, after he tells them, the nation of Israel, what's going to happen there, then he says it's the beginning of sorrows. So he's getting ready to set up the little flock in this first half of the 70th week of Daniel. Verse 9 and 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. The nation of Israel will be singled out in that time period over there, and shall be hated of all nations for the Lord's name's sake. Many of the Jews will be offended and betray among the Jews and hate it between one another. You know, they're going to betray one another over here. You think about that for a minute. You went to church with them in a synagogue over there and thought he was your brother, and he's going to betray you. Because they're going to believe that apostate message over there. Yeah. Just like they believe this apostate message that God... See, you got to realize something. The more you think about things in God's Word, when God chose Abraham to become a nation, and through that nation, He picked out Israel to be ruler, to govern the nation on earth. And they were supposed to hold God's laws and stuff up here. The standard was set. And they was to be not reckoned amongst the nations, but they supposed to be separated from the nations and do what God told them to do. That's sanctification for them. They believed God. He counted for righteousness. Then they went along and did the laws and the ceremony and stuff as far as being separated from them. And they were supposed to be a light that the Gentiles down here, the nations, would come to light and want what they had, but they had to go through Israel. And what Satan did, he infiltrated that system and made it where they created their own laws and added to. And they thought they was doing right, but they wasn't doing right. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he pointed it out to them. You was doing wrong. And what did they want to do to them? Kill them. But there was people that believed John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that, hey, come out of that and get in this church, which is the kingdom church, what they was establishing here. And be a part of this, and they still hated it. So when we read Matthew chapter 23, at the end of it, when he says, "This house is I left this house desolate," God left the temple, His own house. So they're going to betray one another over there. So don't think that they won't be betrayed over here if they're not following the true God of Israel. He placed a vine out there and watered it, and there are believers in that program that's going to believe the truth. Verse 11, 12. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax what? Cold. More false prophets shall deceive. And because iniquity shall be bound, what's going to happen? The love of many. They're not going to love each other. It's going to wax cold. Think about that iniquity abounding. You know what iniquity is? Is it good?
No.
It's unrighteousness. It's lawlessness. And the fact that it's going to abound. You know, Paul talks about, when he writes 2 Timothy, he talks about without natural affection. Isn't that going on today? You know, people is that, well, I am thank God that He died for my sins. Okay? And God, I can understand through the grace program, where sin abound, much more did what? Grace abound. I am very thankful for that. Because it makes me get in line with the grace program, because where sin abound, if I'm continuing in that, guess what's going to happen to my heart? It's going to wax cold. I'm going to start believing lies and start living in it. But the time period, what God is talking here to a little flock, is what's going to happen in this period right here. In the 70th week of Daniel. Verse 13. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be what? Well, how many have heard that before? I'll say you're going to have to endure to the end. And end of what? What is it? The end of a tribulation period. That's what he's talking about. It's not talking about, because why? The next verse tells us. Look at that. For the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, when he says, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved, he's talking about that little flock over here. The ones that's going to believe that message and run, they're going to endure to the end. And there's some people that don't endure to the end. What do? They get their head cut off, don't they? Some of them get their arms cut off. Verse 14, this is the kingdom of the gospel of the what? What does he say? For the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Now, if you're taking notes or like to underline your Bible, that end is in verse 3, is in verse 6, and 13 and 14. And it's going to be the same end. It's not a different end. So he's still instructing that little flock right here what to do over here. Now, I want you to hold your verse there and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Now, the Lord said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, for the body of Christ, says in verse 23 when he writes the Colossian letters, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now Paul the apostle says this gospel has been preached to every creature under the heaven. My question to the people is, why hasn't the end come? Think about that. Lord Jesus Christ, if Paul preached the same gospel that everybody says he preached, the same gospel as Peter, James, and John, okay, that's what they say. You've been a part of it. There's only one gospel. Why haven't the end come? Anybody?
It's not been taught.
It's not been taught. What gospel did Paul preach?
Grace.
It's not the gospel of the kingdom, so it's different. I found this last night. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now we have people out there that believe there's only one gospel in the Bible. Now what gospel means? Good news. There's good news that God gave the gospel to Abraham. Wasn't that good news for him? It's good news that John the Baptist preached that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's good news. The four gospels are accounts of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. Look at this for a second. Where did I say it again?
Acts 17,
thank you. Acts 17. If Paul was in... Look at this. Acts 17, there's three types of people there. There's Thessalonians, verse 1 and 2, that he reasoned out the scriptures with them. So that's a church there, synagogue. Then you get over there in Acts verse 11, and he went to Berea. And he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's what you should be doing. We all should have a Berean heart in a way that, hey, you're going to search these scriptures to find out to be so. And then he goes to Athens. And after he preaches up on Athens, he explained to them that they had a rock to the unknown God. And Paul points this out to him. But look at this. Look at verse verse 19. And they took him and brought him into, was that a Areopagus? Saying, that's a big courtyard, by the way. Saying, may we know what this same doctrine, wherefore thou speakest of. Is that what that says? This new doctrine, whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things of our to our ears, and we know therefore what these things mean. I saw that last night, and I'm like, whoa. Here's a group of people, and they've heard the Jewish doctrine. They heard a kingdom gospel. But what'd they say? What new doctrine? That just tells me that what Paul preached is not the same thing that Jesus preached. The 12. And if that don't float your boat, go to Galatians chapter... Galatians, thank you. Galatians chapter 2. Now, I posted that last night on my little Facebook, and I've been getting a little, I can thank God Peter went to the Gentiles. Now, Peter went to Gentile, Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10. Everybody knows that. But do you ever know who Cornelius was? He was a devout man that paid much alms to the nation of Israel. He built them temples and stuff. He gave them money. I'd be his friend too. He knew who God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. But after Acts 15, you know what Acts 15 says, except a man be circumcised after the manner of Moses, he cannot be saved. They just added to the cross. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, But of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it maketh no manner to me. God accepts no man's person, and he don't. He don't respect truck drivers over insurance salesmen. He don't. Everybody is the same. Over and over and over. God don't respect nobody. He looks at you. He looks at you as a sinner. You trust Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again. Guess what? Now you're the saint of the Most High God. You're a son, a full-grown son. And he goes, verse 7. Oh, well, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Who seem to be what? Peter, James, and John, wouldn't you think they're big to-do? We know they are, and people follow them rather than they follow Paul, where Jesus Christ laid it out. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel, the uncircumcision was committed to me. That's Paul saying that. The gospel of the what? Uncircumcision. As the gospel of the circumcision was unto... There's two gospels there. You got to ask yourself which one's right. You know, that's when you start pulling your hair out like, you know, it's too complicated. I'm throwing the Bible down. I'm finished. This is just too much for me. No, it's not. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing truth. That's truth from truth. It's not truth from error. The Bible's truth from cover to cover. Don't always say, kiver to kiver. You know, it's truth. Matthew 24, verse 9. You got to see those things and say, it's there. You may not understand it, but it's there. Just acknowledge it. Verse 9. Well, Matthew 9, what we read from Matthew chapter 9, excuse me, Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 14, what we read is a period of time when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. It's going to be a time of that. Right now, it's not the time because we're under the gospel of the grace of God. We're under the uncircumcision gospel. Right now, God, through His special apostle, has got a new message that He's talking about and performing and getting people involved in, not a gospel of the kingdom, but a gospel of the grace of God. And he's taking that message, saving people today, whether Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, it doesn't matter. You have to come to the cross, plus nothing else, that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. And he's, at this point in time, he's created a body of believers. It's very important to understand that. There was no body of believers back here. It was a nation. It was a church in the wilderness with Moses. Then they become a church in the kingdom. And then you have the church, the body of Christ. There's three churches in your Bible. At least. Now you drive down the highway and there's hundreds of churches, aren't they? And they're all right. They won't believe their Bible, they believe a man. That's wrong. It's error. But look, they're going to preach today. Today you're preached about a body. Christ is a head of a body. That's never made known back here. Ever. And it's very important to understand that. The reason why he's doing that today, he's taking this agency and taking it back in the heavens. And he's got Israel in the earth. And they're going to do things over here that God promised them that they would do. And they're going to want to do it. Now you got the heaven and earth. And it's going to be reconciled back to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Just like the beginning, God created the heavens. Did you say zzz? No, it's not zzz. It's not heavens. It's heaven and earth. Right off the bat, the first verse in your Bible, God makes that distinction. And we know in verses 9 through 12, it's going to be a tough time for them to preach that gospel of the kingdom over. Didn't he just say? Wars and rumors. They're going to hate you. They're going to turn you in. Not you, the nation Israel over here. That little flock. And God, the gospel of the kingdom, of course, has to do with Christ establishing a kingdom on where? The earth. That's what prophesied over here in Daniel. And when he came, when John the Baptist came, he said, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He tells the 12, "Go preach and tell the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then he died and buried and rose again. The first question they asked him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they asked him, "When will you again restore the kingdom to Israel?" And you're like, that'd probably be my first question too. Because you know why? You taught me, Lord. Now you died and you left me? And they said, "Why gaze ye? He'll be back." And people aren't going to want that gospel when it's preached over here. Time and time again, we talk about the 144,000. They're going to be preaching a gospel of the kingdom, and they're going to be preaching against that Antichrist there. And you're not going to be able to kill them. They're going to be saved, sealed, and they're going to be like, you can't hurt them. And they're going to go out. You ever wonder why 144,000? 12,000 from... Now, Paul is the 13th apostle. Why not? What's 13 times 13? No, you know what I mean? 144,000 identifies the nation Israel. They're going to be preaching, and guess what? The Israelites is going to hear that message, and some of them is going to believe it, and they're going to take their Bible and look at it and say yes and run. When he says flee, they flee. Verse 15. What we have, once again, what we have down to verse 14 is the first half of the 70th week of Daniel because of the next verse. What does the next verse say? "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." Verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Right after Ezekiel. Hold your hand there in Matthew. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Now he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the obligation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, when does that take place? Midweek, don't it? That's what it says. Now, what did Jesus Christ says? When you shall see, when he's telling that little flock, prepare yourselves for the first 14 verses, that's what's going to happen, and then the midweek happens. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint saith unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgressions of desolations to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? There's a question there. He wants to know. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. Let me ask you this right quick. Is the abomination that maketh desolate stand in the holy place, is it at the beginning or in the middle or at the end of that week? How do you know that? Because you just read it, right? Yeah. So it's in the middle. It's not before, it's not after, it's in the middle. And it stands up in the middle of the week. Daniel 11, chapter 31. Daniel 11, verse 31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifices, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Verse 32, I'm going to go ahead and read this with you. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame and by captivity and by spoils many days. That verse 15, go back to Matthew chapter 24. That verse 15 is the first half of the 70th week of Daniel. And after verse 15, it starts the second half. Did you notice in parentheses in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15? Whosoever readeth, let him understand. When do you reckon these people, that God, when God penned this, and he spoke to, when do you think they're going to understand the book of Daniel? Over there, aren't they? You know, think about today what God Almighty is doing in the dispensation of grace of God. When do you think the people can understand what God is doing in the dispensation of grace of God? When? Now is the time. You're not going to understand it over here. And you didn't understand it over here. See, that's what surprised me. People get you saved that you trust Christ died for your sins and bear and rose again. Praise God, hallelujah. And then they want to take you to the book of John. Or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say, now you got to do what Jesus said. Now, I'm not going to be ugly. I can be. But you know those people that says that, they don't do it themselves. And if you ever read what we read so far, those people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they couldn't do it. So Lord Jesus Christ came down and done it for himself. They still wanted to do it for himself, didn't they? Man, that one evangelist on TV, wife got up on that stage this week, probably seen her whenever it was, and said, God wants you to be happy. But in order God wants you to be happy, it's not about God. Just set him over here. It's about you being happy. It's all about you being happy, and that's why you come to church, because you can be happy. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But that's where they are. See, hey, if I can do this and say, it's all about me, I'm doing it because of me, where's God in this? He's gone. They're going to reckon that, understand, in the book of Daniel, and they're going to see that, because we read in verse 33, and they that understand amongst the people shall instruct many. You know, there's only a few of us that really understands in the world. A few could be thousands, you know, that understands the Word of God rightly divided. But there's hundreds of thousands that think they know. And you either rightly divide the word of truth, you either wrongly divide the word of truth, or you don't divide at all. And a lot of people just don't divide at all. They want to mix it up. And once you get this truth, if the grace message gets you and you say, this is right no matter what it costs, and you stand for truth, you'll see that error out there. And he even calls them they that understand. That is assurance that in that day, they will be able to understand. You and I may not understand what's going on there, what we read right now, but they sure will. And that's why today, if I know some of your hearts, it's going to take the rest of your life to understand what God is doing through the dispensation of grace. This other stuff over here, it's just gravy. But right now, here's what God is doing. And we talked about this, how we fixated about, oh man, what's going to happen over here when Jesus comes back and the throne, and are there going to be laws? Are there going to be Messianic laws? Are there going to be Mosaic laws? And are they going to sacrifice? And, you know, are you going to have kids? And I'm going to live for 1,000 years. You know, seems like everybody's wanting to focus over there, don't they? But what about right now? When our mind is fixated over there, or fixated over here, what are you doing about the gospel today? I believe it's some of Satan's tactics to hinder you from growing, for expounding. Because he hates this message. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter, he hates the body of Christ message. He loves the kingdom message, because that's what he's got people back under. The Bible says over there, he said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Known what? That this program here, the mystery program, is going to accomplish in the heavens. Man, that's meat, guys. I like meat. What's for supper? Beef. Look, so what we read so far, we're going to finish up with this. What we read so far in Matthew chapter 4, verses down to 14, 16, that area, can be found in Revelation chapter 6. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. There's six seals pronounced there. And many of you know these, but for the sake of time, we'll just read right through it right quick. And I saw, verse 1, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals and heard as it was the noise of thunder and the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and devouring. That first seal that you just read goes right along with Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and that many false Christs shall show up and compare with the false Christ in the first seal. They're coming. He's coming down. But you ever notice this guy's got a bow, but he don't have arrows? You know what a sign of archery is? You know what a sign? You ever see this before? Two fingers?
Peace.
That's a sign of an archer. Peace, peace, peace. Look at these people.
Charge.
You know, and all these pictures you see, Lord God Almighty reaching out of heaven, touching Lord Jesus Christ as a baby with hands like that. Fingers. That archery goes right back over to Babylon. To Nimrod. You know, you don't think about these things casually looking through your Bible, but I'll tell you, there's a religious system out there that started back over there, and it's gained speed and people, and it's like a machine. And he's merchandising. The Bible says in Ezekiel, Satan is a merchant. And he's got something to sell. And you know what he's selling today? Religion. Then you see the second verse, Revelation 6. He says, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And there shall kill one, and they shall kill one another, and they there shall given unto him a great sword. That second seal has to do with Matthew 24:6 that we read, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. Verse 7, and the nation shall rise against nation. That's compared to that red rider. The third seal that you read in Revelation 6:5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard. The third beast say, come and see, and beheld, and lo, and a black horse, and he had set upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the fourth beast say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil or the wine. That fourth rider goes along with a pestilence. Has to do with the pestilence. Verse 7 in Matthew. And a pestilence, an earthquake. That's the fourth seal. Hey, only God Almighty could do this. He's telling that little flock what to look for over here. Because why? He's still living. And this is a prophetic program. And this is what's supposed to take place. The fifth seal. Fourth one. That was the fourth one. The pale horse had the pestilence. The black horse had the famine. Sorry, I jumped ahead. The black horse had the famines. That's the third seal. The fourth seal, it has to do with the pale horse at the pestilence and the earthquakes. The fifth seal that you read. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal and saw under the altars the souls of them that were slain by the sword, slain for the word of God and the testimonies which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwelleth on the earth? The fifth seal has to do with the persecutions, the souls under the altar. That's why in verse 9 of Matthew, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. See how it's lining up there? It's going to happen over there. The sixth seal, verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black and sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth. Even the fig tree cast her untimely figs when she was shaken of the mighty wind, and the heaven departed as the scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of the place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bound man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of the wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? That sixth seal talks about the signs in heavens and earth opening and those things being associated with the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Matthew 24, verse 29. And it says, immediately after the days of the tribulation shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And the signs, there shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven, and so on and so forth. Matthew 24, go back to Matthew 24. What we read so far down to here is a future history about the times of Jacob's trouble and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you like many of us, we've been tied up into that system in the church history and in the denomination saying we're going to do that. We're going to be in that. That's why it's very, very important to understand the Word of God rightly divided. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.